Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Conversations with the Queen, where we value a conscious and holistic approach to life and self-improvement. We often focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So on today's show, we will be discussing evolution through cultural identity featuring Derek Rouse. But before we get into that, I would like to invite you to visit Conversations with the Queens at blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget that if you miss a show, you can always check us out here on the archives at blogtalkradio.com/109-9PennStation. Also, check out our fan page and groups on Facebook, which is facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. Yay! All right. Our monthly yoga pose for July is the Mariachi Asana pose. I always mess up that word, but it's like super hard to say. And it benefits and calms the brain. It stretches the spine and shoulders and stimulates the abdominal organs like the liver and kidneys and helps to improve digestion. So it's a really, really great pose, and you can find out more about it on Conversations with the Queens at blogspot.com. And there is an article there that shows you exactly step by step how to get into the pose. All right. So our weekly affirmation for this week is, I am constantly growing and changing. I give thanks for all the beautiful blessings that I have received. My spirit grows exponentially and finds peace in knowing that all is as it was meant to be. I am wise in my understanding and live my wisdom as I share knowledge with the world. I am disciplined, I am prosperous, and I am one. Ashe. You can check out affirmations like that and many others on Conversations with the Queens at blogspot.com, as well as our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. All right, y'all, without further ado, we're going to get right into the show. Peace, Derek, are you on the line?
Yes, peace, queen. What's going on?
Nothing much. Just doing the show.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, of course, of course. So, as you know, when I thought of this topic, I couldn't think of a better person to have on to discuss it with than yours truly, Derek Rouse. So, I mean, let's...
Take your two time.
Yeah. Of course. Let's introduce you for everybody who is not familiar with who you are, a reoccurring guest on Conversations with the Queen, but nevertheless, give them a little bit of information about who you are and what you do.
Okay, well, my name is Derek Rouse. I'm a 24-year-old entrepreneur and travel agent from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I pretty much have been a travel agent for about 3 years. I have my organization called Maya International Travel Network, which is basically a more or less a travel agency and also a travel organization or tourism organization focusing on African heritage tours. So I focus on doing African-American and African heritage tours around the world, including Brazil, different parts of Latin America, and of course, different parts of the African diaspora outside, in and outside of Africa. My main focus is cultural tourism, which I'll explain, a little more as we get into the topic of both culture and tourism. But my main focus is cultural tourism, which is dealing with the different different cultures of the African diaspora and how it pertains to self-development and also self-identity. So, again, I'm glad that you thought about me about doing this show, because it's definitely something I love to speak about.
Of course, definitely, definitely. So let's start off real basic by defining what culture is.
Well, the short end of it, it basically culture comes from the Latin, and it basically means to cultivate. Is basically a collection of society's behavior patterns and norms and everything dealing with people's history, and then kind of combining them into a workable program, so to speak, to for people to be able to function. So when we speak about culture, we are pretty much speaking on how to program your brain that it can, you know, individually and as a society, that everybody can work collectively for a purpose, basically.
Definitely. So how does society define culture specifically? Like, what are the stereotypical associations with culture?
Well, a lot of things dealing with American society in general deals with the misperception of culture, especially if you were to shorten it, meaning cult, which is where the word cult comes from. It comes from culture. So if you're talking about it from that perspective, you know, you always say that you have these, like, religious cults, or you have these quote-unquote voodoo cults and stuff like that. So a lot of things dealing with culture from, like, the very westernized perspective is dealing with a lot of negative stereotypes, especially when it comes to African American culture and African culture as a whole. But in terms of, like, America, or I should say the United States more particularly, America defines its culture based off of its values of how it was defined. I know we like to define American culture, you know, for people that are not conscious. We like to define American culture by everything that was written in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and all the other stuff. You know, and although that may sound good, you know, it is just on paper. You know, if we were to take this from the actual practical standpoint, American culture is practically defined by white supremacy. It's defined by oppression. It's defined by misandry. It's defined by misogyny, which both mean, you know, the hatred of men and women, prospectively. It's defined by slavery. It's defined by psychic trauma. You know, it's basically defined, you know, all these things collectively together means it's defined by fear. So basically, American culture as a collective is a culture of fear and, you know, of course, to take that from a more expanded definition, it's the culture of violence, and all these things goes into how we can control people and how we can control their behaviors.
Definitely. Hey, so how would you define culture?
Well, from the very practical standpoint of how we would define culture, especially pertaining to African culture, culture is basically programming. I always like to say culture is to what software is to a computer. So it's what's internal, everything that has intrinsic value. You know, what your value systems, your belief systems, everything that you can define that can make yourself happy, you know, everything that's defined by you make yourself sad and stuff like that. Everything that you can find intrinsic value into it that's not material, so to speak, you know, can be defined as culture, because we're talking about behaviors. You know, this is the very basic concept of culture is dealing with behaviors. That's why, you know, dealing with cultures and how you can shape your cultural identity really just goes back to how you can reprogram your brain.
Definitely. Wow. That's deep. Anyway, yes. So what impact does cultural exposure have on a society?
Well, let me see. I'll start from a couple of things from my own personal experiences. About seventh and eighth grade, when I was in middle school, I had a class called humanities class, which is basically teaching about cultural diversity and stuff like that. So from a very, you know, early age, I was exposed to a lot of different things that was in the world without me, you know, getting into, like, heavy traveling to actually go see these places. But so I learned about Christianity and different, you know, different countries and how they practice it. I learned about Islam and how they practice it in different countries. I learned about the different different tribes and different nations. You know, they can really be interchangeable, how we, you know, of course, how we define that. But different tribes and different nations in Africa, the different languages that are spoken there, the different languages out throughout Latin America from both, you know, the colonial perspective and also from the indigenous perspective. So how it impacted me is more so based off of, you know, my exposure to these things and having a deeper respect for people. So being able to utilize that information, you know, I was able to have, you know, conversations that I wouldn't be able to have certain conversations with certain people only because, you know, they wouldn't know what I was talking about if I was to talk to the wrong person. But if I was to talk to somebody that I can relate to, you know, it's a lot easier to be able to, you know, to build on things that people in society don't like to talk about, you know. So we can, you know, even like in eighth grade, I was talking about how different racial structures or how different caste systems are formed in different areas of the world, especially like in India. So, you know, that was a very enlightening class for me. It was a lot of research. It was a lot of projects. And of course, you know, I went to a, you know, a quote unquote multicultural type of middle school. It was mostly majority black, but you know, it definitely had different backgrounds of people that came from Africa and the Caribbean, and of course, you know, people that came from Asia and Europe, you know, people that had those different European backgrounds. So, you know, we were all in the same class, and we were all basically all doing the same type of projects. And, like, in high school, I was actually the president, my senior year, I was the president of the cultural diversity class. I mean, not class, course, you know, extracurricular course. So, you know, we had to do pretty much the same projects, but, you know, from, you know, a high school perspective, you know, we actually had to go out into certain communities and, you know, get firsthand, you know, type of information. So, you know, I'm in the different communities in Philadelphia. When I wasn't part of the class, I would go to New Jersey, you know, because I used to live in New Jersey as well, you know, talk to different people about, you know, their certain experiences, especially, you know, being in America, you know, trying to pick up little phrases and, you know, little bits of history. Took field trips and stuff like that. So everything I can say, you know, including all my travel experiences, you know, going overseas and stuff, I can say has really shaped my identity in terms of, you know, developing my self consciousness about myself and learning what I need to learn about my own culture, you know, especially, you know, being a so-called African-American, but, you know, meaning from my definition, being both from Africa and America, you know, or Native American, you know, both those heritages combined together and dealing with those different cultures and trying to combine them into my own, you know, my own awareness. But it just basically, you know, just overall, it just basically gave me a greater respect for people and being able to talk to, you know, different people about a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Wonderful. Definitely a strong personal tie that you have to cultural exposure. So, how does culture affect us from a scientific level?
Well, actually, that's a good question. Dealing with a lot of African culture, I would say is it's a lot of myths, perceptions to it, because it is a lot of our culture, you know, really just black culture in general is really based off of science and mathematical principles, you know, and a lot of people don't understand that. And of course, what people don't understand, they fear. So, you know, in terms of dealing with, you know, knowledge itself and dealing with different cultures throughout the diaspora, you know, the one thing that we can understand is that once we start to really break down these cultures to its, you know, to its roots, you know, we do understand that there's an underlying message of morals and also an underlying message of science and mathematics that pertains to all of these world cultures, especially if you study the creation myths of all these different different cultures. You know, the creation myths of Kemet, ancient Egypt, the creation myths of different Native American tribes, the creation myths of the Polynesians, and also like Southwest, Southeast Asian tribes and also in India and stuff like that. So, you know, all these things have basically an underlying theme to it, you know, and then once you are able to translate it, you know, through, you know, the different languages and stuff like that, I don't think I have enough time to, like, really break down, like, a lot of the different creation myths itself.
Mm-hmm.
But basically just saying that it gives you a greater appreciation for the science that we have today. You know, actually, it's funny because I've actually been getting into a lot of arguments lately. Well, not so much arguments, but, like, arguments, debates lately about on atheism. And, you know, it's mostly from, like, you know, unconscious people, but from actual conscious people that say that they've studied, you know, they're Afrocentric and all this other stuff, but they define themselves as an atheist. You know, that's on you. I mean, as long as, you know, whatever you believe in makes you a better person, you know, that's fine with me. But, you know, being somebody that studied culture, I know that there is a message, overall message, in terms of saying that we have a higher power within ourselves, and that all these ancient civilizations have left all these messages encoded, you know, in baby language, encoded a lot of their astrophysics and a lot of their cosmology within creation myths. So it's really science and mathematics that is then translated into a right brain perspective and passing down those stories oratorically. Or, you know, of course, you know, ancient Kemet and then ancient Nubia written in the hieroglyphics on the wall and stuff like that. So one story in particular is dealing with Anansi the spider, which, you know, incidentally, that actually happened to be one of my favorite stories growing up when I was,
me
like,
too.
In elementary school.
I
Who doesn't like a Nazi the spider? I mean, come on.
I was like, what? We learning about African stuff at school? What?
But it's really only until I got older and started to study, you know, knowledge itself and, you know, West Africa and, you know, Africa in general, that I realized that that story has a deeper purpose to it. I mean, you know, the surface to it is basically, you know, is talking about, is leaving a like a moral of the story, you know, like a lot of Aesop's fables used to do, you know, Aesop the African, for people that don't know. But underneath of it is dealing with the actual science of what scientists call today, you know, string theory and end theory. So being able to break that down from a cultural type of level, and being able to translate that into science, and be able to teach that to your kids. I mean, you're basically raising a generation of children that understand basic scientific equations and scientific concepts, but are able to explain it, you know, very simplistically, you know, and as African people, that's what we do. We make everything that is complicated, we make simple, because, you know, our purpose has always been to teach the world. You know, that's kind of, you know, in a way, it's kind of fired on us, but whatever. So
yeah, totally. No, definitely. And to build off of what you were saying, I mean, I like to call that learning the psychology of the universe, because when you start to delve into quantum physics and a lot of mythological understandings of science, what you actually understand is that all matter and all things have consciousness. So nothing that is, you know, a lot of the Native Americans expressed it and indigenous cultures expressed it as, you know, even a rock has a spirit or the river has the spirit. And what they're just talking about is levels of consciousness. And when you start to break it down on those levels, and when you start to utilize mythology and culture and art to explain science, what you're doing is you're actually connecting the left and the right brain. And you're rounding that person out to be a more holistic person that thinks of things not just as one way or the other, but to see the connectivity within everything. So it's definitely a powerful thing, because one of the biggest things we have to overcome, especially in this society, is the segmented and fragmented mindset that we have due to overuse of the left brain and exposure to things that have actually suppressed our right brain or creative aspects of thinking, and more so encourage us to take on a left brain or logical, linear thought process. So it's definitely something that's really, really important. And that brings us to our next question quite wonderfully. So how does the current disregard for culture and the educational system affect our children in the long term?
Well, in the long term, it actually creates a state of mental disease. And, you know, us dealing with us as African American, you know, specifically, you know, that's very, very, very detrimental to our overall health and well-being. I say it creates like a mental disease because we're dealing with people, you know, basically we're dealing with people who have a lack of exposure, you know, so
yeah.
It's lack of exposure due to miseducation. So,
mm-hmm.
And like I said, I had, you know, when I was in eighth grade, you know, I took a class on, I mean, I had to take a class on humanities, but like now,
mm-hmm.
You know, they've gotten rid of like a lot of these different classes,
yeah.
You know, dealing with art and music,
yeah.
And humanities and stuff like that. So it's basically not being able to connect, not really having a tool to connect to anybody outside of our environment, you know. So
mm-hmm.
It's like if you're from, like, say, like, the, you know, from the quote-unquote the hood, you know, or the concrete jungle or, you know, whatever, you know, your identity is shaped by your experiences and it is shaped by your environment. And if your environment is negative and your experiences are negative because of your environment, then, you know, you yourself are going to be negative. And if you can't, you know, connect with anybody outside of a negative environment, you know, you basically have cut yourself off from the rest of the world, you know, because not everybody that has, you know, that's dealt with your experiences is going to be able to relate to you just because you come from one environment. And even if they come from the same negative environment, you know, they may come from, you know, deep in the South, you know, dealing with the United States, the deep South, you know, in the backwaters and stuff like that. And you come from, like, you know, like New York City in the concrete jungle and all that stuff. You know, and y'all somehow, you know, meet up, you know, in through some program or just through, you know, just from happenstance or whatever, you know, instead of being able to connect with each other and saying that, you know, we speak the same language or, you know, we have, you know, similar interests or same experiences and stuff like that. You know, if you come from like a negative perspective, you're only going to deal with and saying like, you know, and trying to identify the differences of one another. So it's like, you know, I actually deal with this all the time in terms of, you know, what I deal with in Philadelphia, you know, because there's different sections in Philly that, you know, if you go to one section, it's really completely different if you go to another section. And it's really not even dealing with different races or different ethnic groups than it is dealing with different black people. You know, one that talks like this and the other that talks like that, you know, or, you know, of course, the age old, I'm Christian and I'm Muslim or whatever, so... But basically, it's a way of, you know, long-term effects is basically a way of just not being able to unify. It's not having a structure or any type of non-material means of connecting to different people, you know, and being able to form different relationships and stuff. So, you know, that's why, you know, the topic of culture and just self-identity and self-development, you know, is still very important. Especially in terms of personal development, because even in the conscious community, we don't even really deal with the whole spectrum of dealing with the African diaspora. You know, it's not to say that I have a real beef with you know, people that teach the African centered thought, because it's, you know, it's very good to for the purposes that it is, but it needs to, it just needs to be expanded. You know. We can't all teach.
Needs
you know,
to be
we can't
updated.
All teach, we all come from Egypt.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Needs to be updated.
No, saying,
needs to be updated.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't all.
I feel like culturally, with the whole Afrocentric movement, we're kind of stuck in like the 60s and the 70s, and we haven't really moved forward past that era of information that was given to us. So I mean, there's been more scientific, more historical discoveries that change every day. So we really need to update our lexicon of what we hold to be Afrocentric thought.
Exactly. You know, we have to be able to expand the whole spectrum of just outside of, you know, the real core or the real basic information. You know, teaching about ancient Kemet and ancient Nubia and, you know, our roots in the Nile Valley, that's all good because that's a good starting point. But at the same time, that is a starting point. You know, we have to be able to move throughout West Africa and learn about the civilizations over there and East Africa and the southern parts of Africa, you know, and especially like the older civilizations. I mean, it's like stuff that's down there that's 200,000 years old and stuff. So, and then just being able to go throughout all of the diaspora and being able to come to this point in the United States and understanding like who we are as a people. Because, of course, you know, anybody that has studied history and, of course, is, you know, within the African-centered or Moorish circles knows that, you know, we all didn't descend from slaves. You know, this is our land and this, you know, all these things that are going on is happening on our land. So we have to understand our, quote-unquote, Native American heritage or, you know, our Moorish heritage, you know, however you want to define it, you know. But we have to understand our, you know, both who we are on one side of the planet and who we are on this side of the planet, so.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And again, when we start to study the cultures, we will find much more similarities than we would differences, and that's the key. I mean, again, I think it comes down to, like what I referenced earlier, it's a more holistic thought pattern that comes into play. Once we start to get more information about culture, it just opens us up to be more holistic people. We do have 1 hour and 28 minutes left on the live stream. I do want to pause and take a quick break for commercials so we can pay these bills real quick. But when we come back, we will still continue our discussion that we're having on evolution through cultural identity, featuring our special guest, Derek Rouse.
Ladies, it's Israel the Poet. Do you love stylish jewelry but are also health and spiritually conscious? Many stylish pieces contain metals and plastics which can irritate the skin and do absolutely nothing for the spirit. So why not be in style while aiding your spirit? Gemini Creations presents Angel Wings, our newest earring line that infuses radiant feather earrings with angelic spiritual gemstones. So look great while aiding your spirit. To check them out, visit GeminiCreations.com. That's GeminiCreations.com. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/GeminiCreations. Or you can contact Tay Queen through tayqueen@hotmail.com. That's TAEQUEEN@hotmail.com. Peace and blessings always.
Are you looking for a place to sell your products online? Not interested in hiring expensive web developers? Do you love to buy cultural and ethnic products directly from manufacturers? Well, look no further. NewShop.com is the number one online marketplace to buy and sell multicultural and ethnic products. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Get your free e-store, post your products for sale, and make money. Sell books, clothing and apparel, jewelry, bath products, beauty products, health products, accessories, holistic products, even ebooks and downloadable music files. The list goes on. No sign-up fees, no contracts, no annoying product listing fees or confusing HTML coding. It's quick, easy, customizable. Go to NewShop.com for your 9-day free trial today. NewShop.com, the number one online marketplace for multicultural and ethnic products. That's www.nuwshop. All payments and transactions on NewShop.com is securely processed through PayPal.
The Dick Gregory and Queen Afua Cruise. As a conscious alternative to the traditional Thanksgiving holiday, you are cordially invited to the 2013 Feast of Gratitude Cruise with Dick Gregory and Queen Afua. Call Alicia today at 888-636-5222. 888-636-5222. The Dick Gregory and Queen Afua Cruise. 888-636-5222.
All right. We are back on live speaking about cultural identity with our guest speaker, Derek Rouse. Yes. Sorry for that. We just had to pay our bills real quick. but I hope you enjoyed that little quick commercial break. All right. We were just talking about the current disregard for culture in the educational school system. So now that we discussed that, so let's move forward onto our next question, which is, what is the current cultural standard in the Western school system, and how is that detrimental? So what is the actual standard that's given for what culture is? And then how could that also be detrimental?
That's not really like an easy question, because I could probably, well, me and you both could probably spend 2 hours, you know, or more talking about this one topic. But I guess the short end of it is that all of these schools, you know, at least like the main schools, you know, from elementary to the university level, is based off of a Eurocentric thought pattern. So knowing that, you know, we have to understand that education in America, in the United States, and, of course, everything that is either controlled by the European powers, you know, in different countries, you know, in Africa and the Caribbean and Asia and stuff like that, are all based off of teaching, like, a false notion of supremacy when it comes to European people. You know, I mean, you can't even graduate high school or even middle school. Actually, you can't graduate really elementary school or middle school without learning history. You know, and that history is always taught from a European perspective. But it's not just history. It's also the way they teach, you know, either math or the way they teach science, or they teach, you know, just different things that pertain to other people's culture, in which case it can be a different way of learning certain things. Like, you know, going back to the whole Nazi the spider story, in terms of how African people use creation myths and how African people use stories to convey, you know, scientific and mathematical thought. You know, that's not really... that's not really the Western standard. You know, the Western standard is very straightforward. It's very left-brained. You know, it's very, basically it's bullshit, you know, just to say the least.
To break it all down.
Yeah, exactly. But it's very detrimental, because it's, like I said, it's teaching a false supremacy and saying that, you know, this white person did this and this white person did that. And this white person was the founder of this, and then this white person discovered this. And, you know, you have to learn all this in order for you to graduate or to feel that you have intelligence within yourself to have a conversation with somebody. And it's even more detrimental in the United States to black people in the United States, because we are the minority. I mean, I know some of my Moors, they'll basically break down the word minority and saying minor, which is true, but in this case, I mean, we are the actual minority, you know, like 12% of the population that actually identifies themselves as a so-called African-American or, you know, or black. So knowing that just means that the education system is not going to be catered to us whatsoever. So it doesn't really matter, rather we're marching to keep a lot of these public school systems open and whatnot. I mean, obviously that's good, because we need to, you know, stand up and say that, you know, we actually care about education, but we also have to look at what we're being taught. You know, the educational system, the religious system, and everything else that's connected to the media, this is all training us to be, you know, this is all training us for our socialization. And really,
exactly.
If you think about it, culture is really just a culmination of those three things, the media, religion, and also education, or at least in our case, miseducation, because it's all being trained for a socialization process, in which case we can be, you know, better obedient, you know, people in society and just go along with the programming. And again, that's what culture basically breaks itself down to. I know Sister Ani basically broke it down saying that culture is a people's immune system. And of course, you know, immune system, when there's a virus in the immune system, it, you know, basically is able to destroy it. But if it's not strong enough, the virus will end up taking over. And basically that's what African Americans and people of the diaspora, but mainly African Americans have this virus, you know, it's called miseducation, you know, and that is being in service to white supremacy or just, you know, the Eurocentric thought pattern, basically being able to be a white person on the inside, but a black person on the outside. So,
definitely. So, I mean, like you said, it definitely does have some detrimental effects, and you know, from how they teach everything to from how they teach to how they actually structure their curriculum and actually how the teaching methods that they actually use. Everything is based on a non-melanated model. We do have a caller with their hand raised. Caller from the 443 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
All right. Peace to everybody. Hi to family. This is Brother Safari. Peace.
Peace.
How's everybody doing? Call from the Baltimore City area.
Peace, brother. Do you have any comments or questions?
Well, I have. So, since I understand that we're talking about the identity. Well, basically, we're going through the culture. Basically, we have an identity crisis here in America. So, and as the brother before he was speaking, he was basically saying how we have been socialized and basically whitewashed, or you know, or brainwashed. I believe to get back to our original culture, you know, we had to be taught, you know. Well, we had to go through a model of, you know, deconstruct, construct, and reconstruct. You know what I mean? We had to be broken down, this nigga mentality, so we can be, you know, get some right fruit, you know, some right knowledge within our bodies, within our minds. And, you know, me, I just come off a 13.5-year prison sentence. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I was dumb, deaf, and blind. And, you know, I viewed, you know, being caught up in this drug gang lifestyle that I was in. And, you know, but now, you know, I was able to change my mind. You know what I mean? Being behind the prison walls, I was able to get an understanding of actually what was really going on. And, baby, you know, to sit back and view and see how things really were partaking in this part of the country was basically happening in the whole part of the country where we reside, majority. And so, and as far as in the inner cities. And so, basically, my idea of it is, you know, from a brother coming out, only been home for a month, you know, so for a brother coming out into this society. Now, like I said, I haven't been in this, even though we've been incarcerated for at least 13.5 years, I was able to see a lot of things. And I've seen how society has changed. I've seen how the internet and, you know, new things have taken over and how this society tries to, you know, pacify us and how it tries to, you know, take the black man, you know, basically eliminate the black man from the black community, you know, when it's an all-out war against us. And so I was just wondering, you know, ask the question, you know, since brothers and sisters have been, you know, within, you know, society, so-called, you know, for these, you know, this time period, and I haven't, you know, like, what are some of the issues, what are some of the key things that you brothers and sisters see that can help us come to a better awakening of what we need to do.
Okay. Do you want to take that question, Dirk?
Well, let me just say peace to you, brother. I mean, you know, doing a long prison sentence like that and just being able to come out, you know, a better person, you know, that's definitely takes, you know, a strong man to be able to do that. So definitely say peace to you. I would say to answer a question, you know, which is really not an easy question because, you know, it's very, very broad. But I would just say just basically what we was talking about is that we have to deal with this miseducation cycle. You know, because it's the miseducation cycle that is tied to our cultural identity and dealing with, you know, our lack of exposure and a lot of our mental diseases that we are currently going through. You know, like I was talking about the system earlier, but really more so just from a personal perspective, you know, everything really just goes back to self. Let me just share a story since the brother, you know, that came on and shared his story. Anybody that really knows me, you know, knows, and I could talk about it now. But anybody that really knows me knows that I've suffered from clinical depression for like the last 10 years. I mean, not now, but I basically was diagnosed with clinical depression from about 12 to about, I'll say about 21. So, you know, in those years, especially those early years, I had a lot of issues dealing with suicidal thoughts and dealing with negative behavior, issues just dealing with, like, why me? Why am I going through this? You know, just dealing with issues of self-hatred and, like, why do I look like this? And, you know, why do people hate me and shit like that? So, understanding who I was, getting older years, and being able to come into, different types of consciousness and different types of knowledge has able to develop me into a really stronger person, you know, especially dealing with different opportunities that I've been given to expand my consciousness and be able to travel the world and stuff like that. You know, it's been able to develop my character to, you know, the type of person I am today. So, you know, like I say, it's really just dealing with, you know, what we can do in terms of our own self-improvement, you know, and a lot of the self-improvement that we have to deal with is just dealing with a lot of the miseducation cycle and just dealing with why is it that society won't teach us who we are, you know? what are they so afraid of? I mean, especially when you tell people that we live in a quote-unquote multicultural society, but then, you know, when you want to talk about African culture or anything dealing with African-American culture that's based off of non-stereotypical type of things, you know, that's reverse racism or that's, you know, spookism or whatever. You know, practicing voodoo is spookism and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, talking about the great African-American inventors in this country, you know, from the traffic light to the steamroller and all that stuff, you know, that's, reverse racism and stuff like that. So dealing with our own self, you know, and being able to be the best person, the best people that we can be, you know, it's really just, is a major problem that we have to really develop. Because even when you have, like, a knowledge of self, you know, quote unquote, you know, dealing with that type of knowledge, that doesn't mean that we're able to come to, like, an agreement. I mean, conscious people, you know, debate each other on the dumbest things, I swear. Mm-hmm. They debate each other on the dumbest things all the time. But it's like, you know, all right, where can we come to an agreement, you know, to at least to disagree and at least, you know, try to deal with each other on the basic information that we have that is based off of the same, either the same information and just, you know, coming from a different perspective or at least different information that we can either combine together and just utilize it as one thing. You know, to me, like I said, that is a personal development type of thing. And, you know, just being able to develop it into some type of cultural, ritualistic type of practice, you know, from a positive perspective, you know, these are the type of models that we need. So, and this, you know, this all comes down to, you know, exposure, you know, being able to travel and just really be able to have a basic understanding of ourselves, especially if you, you know, be able to do do your own DNA test to understand who you are. You know, that may be, you know, an option. Or just being able to, like I've done, be able to travel the world to different places, or even travel in different communities in your local area and be amongst them and see how they do things, stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully I didn't like over talk, you know, your question, but you know, it's
basically I'm getting over talk.
Yeah, you did a great job answering. And if I may add on to answer a little bit more in depth to the question, I feel like what we talked about a little bit earlier was, what Derek mentioned a little bit earlier was the closing of a lot of our public schools all over the country. And I think that presents an opportunity for us to take responsibility for our own education, for us to implement community programs that are geared towards cultural understanding for ourselves, for us to take the initiative to even open up our own education centers, to homeschool, whatever the options may be, but for us to explore other educational methods and community programs that can help us to not only educate the children, but the adults as well, on some understanding of what culture means and how we can apply that back into ourselves. And it really does. That's the necessity that comes into play when it comes to deprogramming ourselves. And again, self-development is also awesome and very key. But without that cultural component, you're not going to be completely fulfilled. So it's definitely, you know, culture is very key. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it did. It did. It definitely did.
All right. Well, you have a great rest of your day, and thank you for calling into Conversations with the Queen.
Okay, thank you. You have a blessed day, sister. You too,
right,
brother.
You too.
Peace.
All right. So we left off speaking about how the school system could be detrimental to our youth. So what are, well, I think we actually already discussed that aspect, so let's move a little bit forward. How does culture affect self-esteem, and how does it also affect our self-identity?
Oh, actually, this is an article. Actually, it's two articles that you can check out. I'll just give like a little, you know, background information, and I'll get into it. But it's two articles you can check out. One, I think, is on AfricanGlobe.net or .com. It's an article called "Black Teens That Have Racial Pride Do Better in School." So that's like basically the actual explanation of that, and I think some of the scientific research, or at least the social research on that. And another one is actually I don't know the exact name of it, but it's actually a study by the University of California, Davis, I believe. It basically says that, you know, immigrants, African and Caribbean immigrants that come over to America, I have to look it up. I'll probably post it on the Facebook event page. But I know it's talking about African immigrants and Caribbean immigrants that actually do better in the United States, better than Black Americans, because they have their cultural pride and they have their, you know, somewhat aspect of a racial pride, you know, but at least a cultural pride. And it's like, you know, social study done with that, you know, with statistics and stuff like that. So those are two studies you can check out. And basically, you know, the short end of it is that it helps us develop our identity and just being able to use the whole concept of Sankofa, being able to look backwards in order for us to move forward. You know, being able to understand where we've been to understand where we're going, you know, and just understand who we are presently as the people, and know what we have to do. So developing our self-development through different cultures, or through like different cultural exchanges or different exposures is did you want me like to explain like the positive aspects or the negative aspects? Because I don't want to go on a tangent right now.
I mean, just go in on how it affects self-esteem and identity, positive and negative. I mean, we got to just cover the whole spectrum.
Okay. Well, again, like, self-esteem is, you know, again, is dealing with self. You know, even, you know, of course, you know, the comedian Cat Williams, you know, talked about that. You know, you know, it's esteem of yourself. Nobody is supposed to give you self-esteem. So being able to understand that, you know, you do, you know, if you can look into your own, you know, even your own family history or your own present-day family and understand who they are as a people, you know, you can find a role model, you know, somebody that you can use as a role model for you to become in the future. So, but even, you know, from a historical aspect, just dealing with, you know, our great, you know, our great kings and queens, our great, you know, average people, you know, workers, you know, just average people that have done, you know, like extraordinary things in life. You know, we're able to read their stories and take inspiration from these stories and be able to apply it to our own life. But of course, you know, we have to do this with the understanding that it is increasing our own self-esteem by being able to identify with these people because they come from the same race or the same culture or same ethnicity that we are.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's okay to want to find a role model outside of your, you know, outside of your race or outside of your even your own community. But the thing is that once you understand more of your history and understand more of your culture, you understand that you don't really have to do that, you know. You know, we have everything that you could possibly think of, you know, both positive and negative, you'll find within our own race or our own, you know, nationality or our own culture or whatever. You know, and, you know, it was really what the most unique thing about the African-American, you know, specifically, like I've been saying, is that I say that, like, we are actually a Pan-African people. You know, I define myself as a Pan-Africanist. I am a Garveyite. You know, I am a Moorish American or Moroccan, you know, by nationality. But my political and economic, even cultural affiliation is of a Garveyite or a Pan-Africanist. And as an African-American, you know, quote-unquote, I define myself as that because we are actually a Pan-African people. You know, almost every ethnicity, every tribe, every, you know, civilization that you can think of, you know, is in United States right now within the quote unquote the so-called black race. You know, so you got, you know, the Akan people, you have the Igbo people, you have the Yoruba, you have the Oromo people, you know, you have, you know, everybody, you know, different Native American tribes. You know, I'm actually going back to my grandfather, he was from the Crow tribe, so I'm part Crow. And but you also have, you know, the Cherokee, you have the Choctaw, you know, the Washita Empire, the Olmecs, you know, here before everybody and stuff like that. You know, all of that presently today, the Geechee people, you know, down in South Carolina, you know, all of that today is in, you know, the United States. So, you know, just talking about, you know, having different cultural identities, you know, you can pick and choose from almost all of this is right here, you know, today. And, you know, in the United States, without even having to go overseas somewhere. I mean, of course, I encourage that because it's dealing with a different experience, you know, but it just turns like different cultural identities and understanding who you are in terms of your own lineage, you know, that's something that you can do right now. Or, you know, of course, you can be amongst these people, you know, that's in your own community and stuff like that, especially if you're, like, you're from New York, because, like, everybody's in New York, so.
Definitely. And that's a great, great perspective on that. We do have 30 minutes left on the live stream at this point. I would like to open up the lines to any callers who have any comments or questions. The call number is 917-932-8881. And you can call in and call up and let us know that you have a comment or question by pressing 1 once you're on the line. Again, the call number is 917-932-8881. And if you're already on the lines, all you have to do is raise your hand by pressing 1. Yes, definitely is a cultural melting pot, the black experience in America. And the funny thing is I have a lot of African-American friends who are interested in their culture but feel very robbed of the experience of culture because, you know, a lot of my cultural experience, even though, yes, my mother is African-American and my father is from Cape Verde, a lot of my cultural experience has been through has been intact through my Cape Verdean lineage. So a lot of times I'll take my friends out to eat at Cape Verdean restaurants or we'll go listen to some live Cape Verdean music, and I'll be like, oh, my God, I wish I had, you know, some more access to African-American culture, and especially in Boston, it's very hard to find any type of culture on that level, especially in a large quantity. So what is your advice to African-Americans who feel that way, that they can't find culture and that they've been very robbed or deprived of their culture?
Well, of course, I'm going to say what I have to say on this. And that is, you need to get passports, please. If you are a black American, well, really, any American, really, but black American especially, you know, you need to get your passport and you have to travel. Even if it's not overseas, like I was saying, like, you need to have your passport so you can at least feel that freedom that you can go once you have enough money to go, to be able to just go wherever you want, you know.
Yeah.
More practically, it's like what I'm doing in terms of, I guess what, you know, in this segment, you know, is so defined as cultural tourism, is that I want to have a network of different communities that have a lot of different ethnicities, like especially like in New York, or just dealing with, you know, individual ethnicities. Like, you know, like you said, in Austin, there's a huge Cape Verdean population. And, you know, of course, South Carolina is the Geechee people. And, you know, in the Florida, Georgia, Alabama, you know, that's the remnants of the Ouachita area of Louisiana. That's the Ouachita area and the Yamasees on them, all those Native American tribes and empires and stuff like that. So, again, it's really just dealing with, you know, identifying where things are. You know, in your own community, and if you, you know, have to go outside of your community, be able to travel to different communities and just be able to, you know, experience those different cultures, you know, firsthand, as opposed to just reading it from a book. You know, of course, you should want the knowledge. You should want to get the knowledge first, you know, especially if you want, want to be able to learn the language, you know, but it's combining the knowledge with the experience. My friend, which is funny, my friend Q, here in Philly, he's, you know, so-called African-American, but he was very interested in Spanish culture, you know. He actually learned how to speak Spanish from, like, one of the Dominican stores that's around here. So I actually thought that was very funny because he just would go in there every day and then, you know, he would just be around a lot of them. He learned how to speak different phrases and stuff like that, and then one of the people that was in there actually, like, tutored him how to speak Spanish, and he basically became fluent in, like, 9 months or so. And, like, now he's a, you know, he's a big promoter in terms of being able to promoting music and art through his promotions company. And he's able to do it in English, and he's also able to do it in Spanish. So, you know, it was an excellent business move on his part. But, you know, just from a personal development perspective, he's bilingual, so he's able to converse in English and also in Spanish. So he has, you know, basically the rest of the continent, of, you know, North America and South America, you know, in some places he can go in Spain where he's able to, you know, basically speak Spanish and be able to blend in. He's light enough, you know, he can blend in to a lot of different places. He's still black, but, you know, he's light enough that he can blend into a lot of different places without getting, you know, a lot of, you know, racial tension. But the point is that he opened up a whole world of opportunities for him in terms of his own community, you know, in terms of the Spanish, people that speak Spanish in, you know, Philadelphia, people that speak Spanish in New York, and, of course, you know, all across South America and, you know, the Caribbean islands and, you know, and, of course, in Europe. You know, and even, what's that country? Equatorial Guinea, which is actually one of the only, actually I think is the only Spanish-speaking African country on the continent.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he basically just opened up a world of opportunity for him, you know, for business and for personal, you know, anything he wants to do personally. And I know there's a, an article and also a book that talks about, you know, basically how learning different languages can make you a lot smarter than people. I mean, that's, you know, kind of self, you know, self-explanatory, really. But I know there's a book by my brother, brother Umar, who just wrote a book on, you know, the 10 reasons why African-Americans need to learn a second language. So, you know, pretty much, you know, what I just explained, it's like, you know, definitely, definitely one of them. You know, it creates a whole different world of opportunities for you to travel and be able to identify with different different peoples and stuff like that, especially if it's the people that's in your, even in your own lineage.
Exactly. Big ups to the Afro-Latino community. Definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
How does culture relate to travel, and what is cultural tourism?
Cultural tourism, well, how I define it basically is just being able to travel for culture, but more so being able to connect with people through their own culture as opposed to imposing your culture onto them. You know, and that's, as we do as Americans, that's, you know, that's basically what we do.
Yes.
You know, we just manage them because they speak French or because they speak Spanish or because they speak Arabic, you know, and not because they, you know, don't want to speak English or whatever. So, I mean, I understand
then
the whole
Black Americans
debate.
Be going hard with it, and it's just not a good look. Yeah.
I mean, I respect the debates about, you know, if you're in America, you should, you know, at least want to try to learn English so you can communicate with people. You know, I understand that. But you also have to understand that a lot of these people that come over to America don't come over here to make friends with you. You know, they come over here to build their own communities, and whatever they got to do, you know, they do it. And, you know, if need be, they go back to where they're from, you know, once they, you know, build up enough economic capital or, you know, get what they, you know, got to get over here. So being able to travel for culture is really just being able to travel for the respect of different peoples. You know, especially you know, your own heritage. You know, having respect for different peoples and learning different customs and different languages, different norms and different systems of how to do things. And in return, it makes you a better person on the inside because you're taking in all this information from a humble standpoint. You know, you're becoming a world class student as well as a world class citizen.
Definitely. All right. Great. So what we already pretty much went into all of that.